Hey guys, have you ever been part of a great a cappella performance?
When I went to theater school, of course, it's a theater school thing. My first year, every day after theater school, me and three other guys would get on the subway and sing songs very loud for everyone to hear. And we thought we were doing everybody a favor. We clearly were not. We would sing "You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me." We would sing "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." And we did it every day. One guy told us we should sing at weddings. We weren't good. But yes, I can't imagine. I'm cringing at the thought of how obnoxious it was.
I am too, because I've had to encounter that like every day in New York, like especially The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That was like every single a cappella group that walked into a subway car that decided they were going to sing their way through the subway car with their hats out, always sang that song.
Yeah, we weren't even asking for money.
But you were. We
were asking for attention.
You're asking for validation for is what you were.
Yes.
I don't think I ever have. And I think the major reason is whenever I'm around people and I'm singing, they ask me to stop and they don't start singing. So it's like hard. I don't think I've ever been around a group of people that I could organize into like different vocal ranges and to take parts to be able to do a cappella.
My favorite was we went to Foxwoods one night. And we brought a cooler beer and we drank in the garage in Foxwoods. It was me, Jeff, and Don. And then I think Andy was with us and someone else. Andy was like inside gambling. We went out and we were drinking beers in the trunk of my Jeep and singing a cappella in the garage as people were driving and walking by. I don't remember what the hell we were even singing, but you know, it's Jeff. So the song was really good.
Why the hell were you all jammed in the trunk of a car?
Well, we like tailgated. So we opened the back. Like the hatchback, and like we're like kind of sitting on the back and drinking.
So you're tailgating in a casino garage, singing a cappella. That is so quaint in like 1950s almost.
Yeah, well, at the time too, we didn't have like a ton of money, you know. So like we weren't. I think it was our way of not having to go in there and buy like expensive beers. So we were just like chug a bunch in the garage and then go in.
A cappella puts me in a rage.
Exactly. So I felt, except when the gang does it.
Season 2, Episode 2, The Gang Goes Jihad.
Here we are, episode 9, The Gang Goes Jihad. JT and Josh are with me. Boys?
Hi.
Hola.
Good. That was a delayed reaction, but I love it.
It was a cappella.
3:30 p.m. on a Monday, and right off the bat, we're in the darkness. We're still at the title screen, and we're hearing an argument about leverage, which is how I want to start every episode, with some sort of bizarre argument. Yes. We pan in. They're trying to get the cast off. They're trying to figure out how to get this cast off Charlie. Mac is standing around, of course, doing nothing. They suggest that they go to a doctor, and that Charlie goes to a doctor, and Charlie starts the, "Oh, look at me. I have money for doctors." Why don't you guys have medical insurance as a general thing?
Because there's no money for it, Aaron. How are we going to get that money? There's no money.
Is it the population size? Is that the actual problem?
There's no money. No, it's greed. Corporate greed.
It's corporate greed. Yeah.
Corporate, 100% corporate greed. And you need people to be sick so the privatized hospitals can make their money and, you know, gouge the insurance companies. And if you don't have insurance, you're going to go broke and then die. So that's what it is.
Well, no. If you don't have insurance, you're going to go into debt. But that's when the debt collectors step in and the credit card companies. Yes. Everybody's got to be making money all the time but you.
True. Are these injuries from the car accident? Because that's pretty cool. I like that carryover there.
I loved it
because I like it. It's also like thinking ahead. You know, it's not something I think of the show for like continuity too much, you know. Everything kind of seems like little capsules. So, yeah, like, when this happened, I was, like, shocked and happy.
And what I like a little bit, too, around this stretch here is I was actually surprised how much continuity between episodes there was, like, to your point, Josh. Like, I always think of these as they live in their own world every episode, unless it's like a two-parter or something. But there's much more of a continuation of story than I had realized.
Yeah, I don't think it, we don't see it too often this obvious, except in terms of world building. Like, the world doesn't change and the world has consequences. But I think it's rare that we see such a direct consequence of something lead into the next episode. We'll actually talk about that as we get to the end of this episode.
Yeah, I think this one in general, not to get ahead, but I think it's a really big one because there's just a lot of events that happen that are just supposed to, like, carry us forward, you know, as far, and, like, again, I'm assuming everyone who's listening has probably watched ahead at some point, but, like, you know, like, some of the characters that are being introduced, you're like, oh my gosh, the world's, like, it's so much more real now because of the continuity and because people that they've already talked about are now walking into the, you know, the picture here.
Right. Well, Frank, who we talked about a lot last time, suggests they just soak the cast in water to get it off, which is exactly what they should do. And Dennis and Dee want to know why he's still there. But Frank admits to them, and I think it's a vulnerable moment, that he just wants to be part of the gang.
Yep.
Dee says no. Dennis says, and Dennis corrects Dee and says she's not part of the gang either. She's appalled. And Dennis talks about how the gang is himself, Charlie, and Mac. And Charlie and Mac are like, what the hell are you guys talking about? In the midst of all this, In the midst of all this, a man named Ari Frankel walks in. What are our first impressions of Ari Frankel?
He looks like David Wallace.
Yeah, no, he looked like David Wallace, but he reminded me of someone else. There's, like, a comedian actor that's been in a lot of stuff that's kind of got, like, I feel like a big forehead like this guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Bill Cosby.
Yes.
You can't put this. I own the building next door.
I tend to think he came off pretty arrogant in this little scene. He talks about how he just built the building next door and he just moved here from Israel because it got too dangerous over there. Dennis right away is going on about, well, it's a tough situation over there. Do either of you have a good grasp of the Israel situation?
Nope. And I wouldn't pretend to like they do.
Nope.
I feel like I would pretend to, because I think I have, like, I always like to think I have, like, a decent grasp on it, but I'm, like, I could probably hold up to scrutiny better than they would have, or they did,
right.
But I definitely would have fell apart at some point.
I dated a Jewish girl, and I asked her once what would happen if there was no state of Israel, because I didn't understand the situation either. I still don't. And she told me that if Israel didn't exist, there would be another Holocaust immediately.
Hmm.
Oh.
And that felt a bit alarmist.
That made me feel like I should just step away from it. Not try and tell them anything about it.
And then I dumped her ass. All right. Charlie then compares the Israel situation to the Superdome. They argue. But Ari's brought them a notice to vacate because he's bought the building next door and the land extends to halfway through the bar. And he wants them out in 1 week. Charlie gets a little outraged. He goes, look, man, I don't know how you guys do things in. And he forgets the name Israel, which they just talked about. But he mentions this is America. You don't come here and steal our land from us.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Such a great line. And Frankel picks up on the exact obvious connotation of that line, right?
Yeah, right away.
It's perfect. Isn't that how your whole country was founded?
I love that they have no clue that America was founded that way. It's great. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, their confusion is like real confusion. And it becomes an argument of like, this is our bar. And he's like, well, your bar is on my land. Dennis is like, what are we going to do about this? Cut to the title screen. The gang goes jihad. Now, what's the risk level here in terms of them this early in? I mean, this is season 2, episode 2, right? It's really early to be throwing out an episode called The Gang Goes Jihad. What's the risk level from these guys here?
I don't think it's super high given we've already done like racism and abortion. Like, I think we've actually hit hotter topics. And given the society we're in at that point, I don't know. Like, I don't think it was probably the most radical they've even done at this point.
Hmm.
So, Mike, when did this episode air? What was the date?
2008.
Okay, so yeah, so South Park did it.
Oh, sorry, 2006.
So South Park had done the Cartoon Wars already at that point. So it was kind of like, it's inflammatory for sure, I would say, you know, obviously. And that's, again, what I think there is really clicking with all the title cards is like, they've gotten into the flow of like, we're going to hit them with a really inflammatory like punch right when we hit the title card, like every time now. So
we also had just had Muhammad Hassan do it, which is kind of like that. But no, but honestly, I think I sometimes think it's okay because I don't want to say they're not the protagonists of the show, but they're also the antagonists. So it's like they're right. Not right about anything they do. You know what I mean? Like, I think they have valid points mixed into everything they talk about and they debate. And so when they talk about it, but though, it's not like they're in the right. It's like they're so yeah, they go in jihad, but they're stupidly doing it and they're fucking up. And like it portrays people that would do this as being fuck ups.
Right. As opposed to making fun of the thing.
Correct.
It's a subject of the joke. Right. The subject of the joke is them. The target of the joke is them. The subject is jihad.
Correct.
Right. It's like Kenny Powers. You know, we're not supposed to be like Kenny Powers is totally right all the time.
Right.
We're supposed to laugh at Kenny Powers being an idiot, you know, like and be like, oh, he's so bad. At least I'm not that. But I got to tell you, the whole taking the land sequence thing, I thought was so brilliant because not only obviously were they referencing what's happened in America, but then they're also kind of technically parodying what's happening in Israel. I don't want to say that too loudly, but like,
but it is no, and yeah, and what I,
you know,
it's really great because it's really amazing in a lot of ways because we're going to see as the episode goes on, they do a bunch of those things,
right? But 2 minutes in, they've already made like a super good joke about it to like set it up, and it's like, this is already a million times better for me than any episode last season writing wise, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like yeah, 2 minutes into this.
It's very strong. Now we cut right away to Charlie. We're at Charlie's apartment. He's in Long John's watching TV, and Frank is cooking at a hot plate, and they're arguing if peanut butter goes on a grilled Charlie. Do either of you have a weird, fucked up variation of a meal?
I don't really. I'm pretty by the book when it comes to stuff. I guess I don't. Josh may have the same one. The old grape upon mustard and fries. I don't know. I don't think everyone does that. I like mustard with fries, and I hate ketchup. So maybe that's like the slight one I would have. I also like pickle juice, but I don't know how weird that is.
Like straight,
pretty common.
Pickle juice, yeah. Like I don't just drink it, but I don't mind it. And like I've done pickleback shots. You ever done those?
No.
You do like a shot of what is it, Josh? Like Jameson, and then you like chase it with pickle a shot whiskey. Of pickle. Yeah, and then you shoot it with it. You follow it with it, chase it with a shot of pickle juice, and it kills the aftertaste of the alcohol right away.
Hmm.
Anyway, I do like Charlie and Frank already in the matching sweats, and yeah. I love how quickly they've settled into this ridiculous lifestyle with the hot plate and everything. That's, you know, like they're immediately in to like living like fucking slobs together.
Yeah, they're just
like like the next day, basically, in their lives. Yes. So.
Yeah. And there's never been a discussion about Frank living there. He just lives there.
Yes.
There's a knock on the door. Frank's wife shows up, and Frank's got to pump up to open the door, and Charlie's pumping him up like, you're not going to take anything from her. He tells Charlie to open the door so that he doesn't get smacked. Charlie wants to know where his balls are, and then in walks Barbara Reynolds. First impressions.
The worst bitch in the world.
Such a bitch.
Yeah, tremendous bitch. She storms in. She's appalled at the living conditions. She goes, is this where you're living? Frank says, we make it work, which I think is such a funny line.
The other thing, too, with her is I didn't expect her to be, like, a snobby bitch. Like, I expected her more to be, like, actually ends up being nice. And, like, then you wonder what Frank is doing. But they actually do it in a way that makes you feel why Frank would be justified for what he's done because she is the way she is.
Yeah.
You know, very Lucille Bluth, I guess, is a good comp.
Yeah, like a bit younger. Very good. A bit younger, Lucille.
Yes.
She's got the small goddamn dog in her purse.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to question him, and Frank has a comeback for everything. And this scene is great writing-wise, too. She goes, when you were making money, who was raising the children? And he says, a series of Mexican women. I love that Charlie's super – he's like, oh, my God, he's so impressed with everything and high-fiving him.
Every single one is good, and Charlie's like his approval of it just takes it like this is my funniest part of the episode, I believe.
And it's such a glimpse into Frank that we didn't quite get in his debut. And like what he's going to be like that Mexican lion and some other stuff. Like it's this glimpse into what his mentality is going to be.
Right.
Did you catch the little thing he said before they walked in? He said, "Charlie, she's all hopped up on amphetamines. I can hear it in her voice."
Charlie.
Just so good, because I never caught that until that one moment when I was watching it again. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my God. How did I miss that like 10 times already?
Mm-hmm. Well, she wants her shit back because he took her shit, or someone came and took her shit. And Frank suggests she should have someone deported like in the old days. Charlie's on board. He's like, that was the best one. Charlie gets slapped. And Barbara Reynolds is like appalled. She's like, I can't believe you're standing up for yourself, standing up for immigrants. It makes her sick. After this interaction, we're on Frank's side of the divorce, right?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Like he's by far the better person in this couple.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's clear so far. Anyway. We'll dive more into the relationship and what he has going on, but yes.
Yeah. They move from the pain of being slapped into arguing once again about the burnt grill Charlie. We cut to Mac, Dennis, and Charlie. Now we're in an office with someone from the city. And the city guy is like, well, I think Ari Frankel's using a really old law. And the gang gets mad and says, well, how can he do that? The law is like 300 years old. But isn't that kind of what the Israel situation is based on? Like, that the land is theirs from based on the Bible and, like...
Yeah, in my knowledge of the Israel-Palestine situation, what I can tell you is that it's based on grievances that I guess...
Well, I just think it's funny that, like, they're making Frankel use a law that's so old, but right. Isn't that what both of the parties in mm-hmm. Israel and Palestine base their... Yes. Their ownership of a law that's like thousands of years old. Anyway,
yes, but don't forget the Christians too, because they do the same thing. Because yeah. Jerusalem is everyone's.
Yeah, but I don't have to. They're not involved in this. But yes, they're all bad. Then the gang is told that they had the opportunity to buy the land back on multiple occasions, mm-hmm. which I thought was a nice touch.
I love that poor lawyer. Like, just imagine being this poor fucking guy and you got to deal with these idiots.
Yeah, it's so perfect. And I feel, do you think that, like, outsiders like this guy, like, that aren't part of the gang, really highlight how outrageous the antics are?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty good textbook, like, straight man to the weirdos, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, when they all seem like they live in the real world, you know what I mean? And that these morons are just, like, from another planet.
Yeah, planet reality. The gang doesn't want to get into the blame game, though. They want solutions. And they're like, how do we get this guy out? And the guy at the city is like, you don't have any legal resource. And they catch only the word legal. And they start saying, oh, we don't have any legal. So we got to get creative. And then I love that the guy says, if you're implying that I'm suggesting you do anything illegal, you are mistaken. He spells it out for them. But they assure him they're not going to implicate him. But they want a connection to like his guys, and they do the sign with like money like out of his fingers, like they want to get on board this guy on board with their plan, mm-hmm. doing the money sign with the fingers. He just tells him straight to get out. I love this interaction with this guy. I think it's such a perfect little snapshot of like how fucked up this gang is. Now they're walking down the street, they're trying to figure out what to do. Dennis is now. Starting to say, though, we have to be careful, though, because we don't want to come off as anti-Semitic. And he's a Jewish person. And the other two wonder why they're even bringing it up. And then Max says, I don't have a problem with Jews. But Dennis immediately jumps on that term, mm-hmm. saying, like, you can't say that. And they explain it's okay. Now, is Mac right here? Is calling someone a Jew, is someone who is Jewish, a Jew, a racial slur like Dennis? Or is Mac more on the right track here?
I don't know. I mean, I personally would probably call someone Jewish. I don't know if it's derogatory or not. I'm not Jewish. So I can't say if I would take it as an affront. I think Dennis probably overreacts a bit, maybe in the way it's being used. But
right.
I don't think it was said in an inflammatory way.
It's an interesting conversation, though, because I swear I've heard it said, you know, when I watched other shows that have a lot of Jewish actors in it, you know, that one of the things they'll use the word Jew like a ton of times. Right. So is it like the N-word or is it like just kind of like as they kind of get to later, like the context is really going to tell you if you should be using it then or not.
I do like when he says you dropped a hard J.
Yeah, that's late.
Hard J.
Yeah. Well, and I think that actually kind of cuts to the heart of it, right? Like, I mean, Charlie starts talking about the context, but the hard J probably does make a difference. It's as insane as that sounds.
It's all about intention. It's all about intention with how you're saying it.
Well, that's how things used to be. Dennis isn't having any of it, though, because Charlie is the most ill-informed person he's ever met. And he goes, Charlie doesn't even know what's going on in Israel. But Charlie pushes back and asks Mac to explain the situation, Mac and Dennis. And Dennis says, well, there's a war on terror, Charlie. Have you seen CNN? Have you seen CNN? George Bush right now. That's his explanation of the Israeli situation. And then Mac goes on a rant about how Saddam Hussein has the oil, and then we have to get it back through Israel.
Obviously.
Charlie rightly calls them on their bullshit. Also, now we're cutting back to Dee. I didn't notice, but she's wearing a neck brace the whole episode.
Yes.
Right? Yep. I didn't notice the accident. First time at all.
Yeah. I guess we're so not used to paying attention to her. Like, the neck brace just pops out.
Like Barbara Bobby shows... Heenan, that neck brace.
Pardon me?
She's like Bobby Heenan in that neck brace.
Barbara shows up at the bar and talks about how it smells like urine. She sees that Deandra is wearing her earrings. Is this the first time we hear her called Deandra?
I think so, because they never call her, the gang never calls her that. It becomes a Frank thing, right? Deandra.
Yeah.
So I think that becomes like the parents calling her that. But I do, I don't think Pop called her it, did he?
He just wanted to see Dennis.
Yeah, so this may be the first time, but it's a regular thing from here on out, because Frank always calls her it.
Yeah. Well, Dee is caught wearing her mother's earrings and she immediately blames Dennis. And Barbara right away is like, don't you dare blame your brother, which really just speaks everything about their relationship. Yeah.
She's savage in the scene. Just a wicked cunt. I mean, it's big time.
Oh, yeah. The fucking worst. Because Dee is like, you didn't even notice my neck brace. And she replies, I assume you did something stupid. To which Dee replies, Dennis ran me over. And then, like, Barbara's like, you don't take responsibility for your actions. Like, it's just all the typical mean mom stuff, right?
Yep.
And I love the little touch that she takes a piece of Dee's sandwich to feed her dog. Have you guys ever stolen anything from your parents?
Like a real thing?
Yeah, like, not joy or, like, years off their life. Like,
I'm sure I must have taken like money at some point as a kid to buy something, like snuck it out. I don't think I've ever like blatantly go into their house and steal something. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think maybe I took a record or something that, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like a maybe one little thing, but
Josh knows my dad. I probably wouldn't have risked
taking it. That's how I feel like with my dad, too.
Yeah.
It would be like, I feel like they would probably find out and then
catch a beating.
That would be it. Yeah.
Be disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Look, the guys are now outside Ari's place lamenting that they has a construction crew building stuff. And Charlie's idea to stop all this is to throw a flaming bag of poop in the window. The rest of the boys are like, what will this accomplish? He doesn't have an answer. So Dennis has a plan. And they cut right away to him saying, this ought to do it. This is it. And they have completely toilet papered the whole building. The two other guys completely shit on Dennis. And Dennis is like, you know how hard it is to get TP off a building, especially if it rains? This Jew is in for a ton of work. And, this is the hard J.
That's the hard J.
Yeah. It really, really was like a really hard J.
Well, because like it was used in a way that was like – like, we hate this guy, right?
Spiteful. There was spite in his voice and in the sentence.
Yeah, a spiteful Jay.
Spiteful Jay. That's my new rap name, by the way. Spiteful Jay.
Yeah.
I hate this and I hate that. Okay. So.
I'm mildly bothered by this.
But see, Charlie did have a plan, though, and I think he sold it well. He asked him, what's that going to accomplish? And he's like, poop on the shoes, dude. Poop. Like, that's all that you need to say there. Like, right, doing that gives you poop on the shoes. We've all had poop on the shoes, and depending on the shoe, that is a death sentence, possibly.
Have you guys ever done the poop in a bag to somebody?
No.
I don't think so.
I've done poop on a stick, and you chase someone with it.
Oh, like the Vince McMahon, Gerald Briscoe special?
I've done the dirty diaper in the car.
What do you mean?
When I was in elementary school, there was a dirty diaper in the play yard, and I dared my friend to put it in the open window of a car, and he did it.
Oh. The worst I ever did was we made hamburgers, and we took hamburgers, and we went to somebody's house and mashed them into the mail slot.
That is bad. That is bad. It's not poop on the shoe, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, they fell apart immediately because we had all the toppings on them, too. It was pretty stupid.
Okay. Yeah, bad. You didn't think that one through, much like the gang.
No, and it was pretty wasteful. I mean, like, poop is waste, but like a hamburger we could have eaten.
Right.
And the bun and all the stuff that you had on it.
Like, there was
poop is literally waste, yes.
Yeah, it's literally waste. They argue about context again in the hard J. And then, so we cut to the next morning, and Frank is showing up at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And when Barbara opens the door, he's like, I noticed you changed the locks on the door. You didn't have to do that because I'm never coming back here again. And he's got a box of shit. He wants to know why she's looking so happy. And Barbara says she's satisfied for the first time in her life. And Frank is like, what's that smell? Musk? And then she goes, it's my new friend. I met him at your shithole bar. That's his Mercedes across the street. His wife's dead. Goodbye, Frank. It's all one sentence, right?
Yeah, just one big run-on. She's just trying to get it out so fast to get Frank the fuck out of there.
But why?
I don't get it, though. Because when she says the Mercedes, Frank's rich, right?
Yeah, why would the money bother Frank?
Right. Like, if he doesn't drive a Mercedes, it's because a Mercedes doesn't matter to Frank.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, because of this, Frank barges back in. And, of course, Ari Frankel is there. Immediately, Frank, you banging him? You banging this guy?
It's so Frank.
It's Frank on a platter. She right away is like, not yet, but I'm giving it serious consideration, which is like the smarmiest possible way to invite someone for sex.
Frankel debating.
Maybe I'll fuck this guy, right? Frankel gets up and demands to know if there's some problem here. And Frank is like, yeah, there's a problem. Adultery. That's what's going on here. And then he hobbles out. The cast is on his foot. He already walks funny enough, and now he's got to hobble because of a cast. Barbara calls him an animal and goes, sorry about that. He used to beat me, you know. That's a brilliant
definitely
line, right?
Yes, yeah, but no, he definitely did not beat her.
It's such a brilliant
Ari
line based
like
on cast.
Well, Ari looked like he didn't believe it.
No, he looked at her like he was completely confused.
Right. Like, so he beat you?
Yeah. And we cut to outside, and Frank is just smashing his car to set the alarm off.
Yeah.
So spiteful Jay would be very impressed with that. And then he goes, change of plans because your mother seems happy. I can't have that. And then Dee and Frank plan to steal the dog. They go into the house. Frank starts with these stupid fucking signals. Both of them are super injured, so they can barely move around. Dee with her neck brace, Frank with his leg. Dee knocks over some shit and starts screaming. She goes, run, run! This is like the worst theft ever, right?
Oh, brutal, yeah.
It was pretty
bad. Saving Silverman level.
You know, I've never seen Saving Silverman.
No?
No. Should I?
Oh, it's great. I love Saving Silverman.
It's basically, what's his name? What Briggs? What's his
Jason
first name?
Biggs.
Jason Biggs. I had it, but it didn't seem right. And it's been so long that it's like, it doesn't matter. It's basically like the end of him, right? Saving Silverman.
Does he die?
No, like his career. Other than coming out for for the core American Pie, like, movies.
I feel like he did, like, he's been in other little stuff here and there. I've been good, no?
I'm not going to look it up. And
he was in Jersey Girl. He was all right in that.
Jersey Girl. That was, yeah, you're right.
Jay and Silent Bob was after that. He was in that briefly. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff since. I don't know, like, if it stands out.
Right,
at all.
But that movie was good, Saving Silverman, you know?
Do you think Silverman would have been offended with the hard J?
He doesn't seem very offended by much in that movie.
No?
It also has the great Arlie Ermey, who's awesome.
That's the name of a human?
Arlie Ermey? He's the, was a Full Metal Jacket, right? Is he in that, Josh?
Oh, is it the drill sergeant?
Yes, that did, like, A&E
Okay.
stuff.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, right. He's in that. He's great in that movie. Steve Zahn's awesome. It's a great movie. You should know Jack Black's good. your doppelganger.
Don't call me that.
It's definitely I'd check it out. I like it. I think it holds up. I think it's really funny.
All right. Well, Charlie's back at the bar, and they're still looking for a solution what to do with Frankel. And he goes, "Gentlemen, I have something right here that's going to send our friend on the first train back to Israel." Just got a carton of eggs, and I love that Charlie thinks that Ari will notice that the smashed eggs are organic, twice the size and twice the price.
It's good Charlie logic. I like that they're building Charlie logic into, like, he's becoming dumber.
Yes.
Compared to the end of the last season, and they've also pulled Dennis down a little bit, whereas before they were building Dennis and Dee up to be, like, smarter than the rest, which they kind of still are, but at the same time, this episode especially has Dennis being, like, pretty dumb compared to, like, a normal person.
Right. Well, Dennis wants to do the egg thing because at least it's something, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And something is better than nothing, right?
When you're trying to keep your business and no.
Fend off a man of Jewish descent?
Fend back.
They go out the back door, and Ari has put a fence wall all up around and buried them in. Now, is this a reference to the Israeli West Bank barrier?
I would say yes, probably, judging by the other stuff.
Yeah, it didn't connect to me in the moment watching it, but now that you say it, and given how everything else has unfolded, I would agree. Yep.
Yeah,
I love that scene though when they come out and they try to fucking fit through the fence. Is awesome.
Oh yeah. And Charlie's like, he wants to get extreme, and they're just screaming, and Charlie's got the best scream of maybe anyone ever on television. But does this cast, is the gang the Palestinians in this episode?
Yes, because Ari is from Israel, and he's coming in and taking their lands, even though they were already there, by some obscure law from
thousands
centuries ago, and he's putting up a wall and fencing them in so they can't even leave their land to go anywhere else.
It's really quite a brilliant little satire of this.
I didn't catch how, like, good it was until, like, I was really paying attention to that opening scene, you know, for, like, first time in a long time, and I was like, huh, they're really setting it up. And then as everything happened, it was like, oh wow, this one is, like, somehow way better than I've ever remembered this particular episode. Like, it was I didn't really remember it. It was like, didn't even really make a dent, really, except for the end, I would say.
I just remember, well, there's something that's coming up that I always remembered, but yes, I'm impressed so far with how well written it is.
Yeah.
And how everything actually, they could have been heavy-handed mentioning all these things that have to do with Israel, but they've kind of woven it in somewhat seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a way that's like, oh, okay, they're, you know, like, it's like, yeah, I actually had to think about it to make sense of it.
It's because they don't know about it. They're dumb about it, so they're not pointing out the
they're
stuff
unaware that this is some similarities. I also like that they didn't do an stereotype with Ari, besides the name. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't. He's just a dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. So yeah. I like that part of it too. They could have went heavy handed with the stereotype.
Yeah. They could have dressed him differently, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. There's ways they could have went about it that would have made it more heavy handed. Instead, he's just a businessman. You know?
Yeah. A businessman who just innocently bought a building, but he could have been nicer about how he went about his stuff.
Right, but you can see why they're wearing on him, and this becomes a common theme going forward, that normals are, you know, they wear on the normal people very easily, very quickly, to the point where even someone trying to just do business with them, like is done with them within minutes, you know?
Yeah. It's basically a rope-a-dope, their strategy.
Right, just wear the guy down, punch him out.
We cut to Frank and Dee at Dee's apartment, and they have the dog. And Dee's like, what do we do next? And I love Frank here. Frank's like, we're living in the moment. We're running around stealing things. And he goes, I want to team up with you on more stuff like this. And I really want to team up with Mac because he seems stupid enough to do anything.
He's got the read.
Yeah. There's a knock at the door and Frank is doing the signals again. And Dee's like, this is why you're not part of the gang. This is important. They keep mentioning that he's not part of the gang.
Right. Yep.
And Frankel's at the door. Now, is this a bit of a plot hole that he goes to Dee's apartment?
Well, I thought it was Frank's apartment. I thought it was the shithole.
I think it's
no,
Dee's.
I think they're in Dee's. Yeah, they're in Dee's.
Okay.
It's more than one room.
Well, do you think that the mom knew, like, what it told him where she lived?
Yeah, but the mom had already been to Charlie's apartment earlier in the episode and saw Frank living there.
Right, but if she thought that Deandra was, you're right, because she didn't know that Dee was actually with them. Maybe what? They went over. Maybe he sent
them over to Charlie's. Yeah, I would say maybe he went to Charlie's and Charlie said he's at Dee's.
Right.
Oh, maybe.
And then he
yeah.
called on his cool new cell phone, his flip-top cell phone or his Razor.
Dee was also the one who yelled run in the house.
Mm-hmm. True.
But look, I'm nitpicking, obviously, but it's just we've talked about it in the past where like things are a bit convenient and this kind of felt like a little bit of one.
There's a little bit of that in this one, but like I'm able to suspend the disbelief a lot better. Like I've noticed this one and going forward.
Yeah. And the scheme is already so stupid anyway that like whatever, like it's such a small thing. Frankel's at the door. He tells Frank that your wife is afraid of you. I'm here for the dog. Frank denies he has the dog. And there's clearly a ton of damage the dog has done right behind Frank. And Frankel's like, so you were pooping all over the house and tearing up pillows? And Frank says, yes. Ari then says, I'm starting to lose patience with you people. Should he be throwing around the phrase you people?
It did trigger me, I got to tell you, because I forgot for a second. I'm like, no, he can say it, but we can't say it to him.
It's funny, eh? Like the phrase you people has become kind of a weird, like triggering thing in any context, even when it's not said at anyone in particular.
You have to say the group of people that you mean by name in order for it to not be bad, unless you're saying something bad, you know?
Yeah, you could have meant the pores, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I just think it's a weird word. Like, do you guys know who Don Cherry is?
Yes.
Did you know he got
Cherry, the jazz player?
No, the hockey announcer, coach/analyst. Well, he got canceled last year because he used the phrase "you people."
Interesting. And I mean, I don't know much about him. Is he the type that if you heard him say "you people," you would assume that it's bad?
Yes, but.
Okay.
But hold on. Like, yes, but he's always kind of had a thing against. He's very anti-European in hockey and anti-French. That's just kind of his thing, right? Like, but he said you people about everything for his entire career. Like, you people that think hitting from behind is okay. You people this, you people that. It's something he's always said. And he said something along the lines of like, you people that don't buy poppies at Remembrance Day should support the troops. And he was canceled because of the phrase you people. And I thought it was it's an interesting thing that like this word in any context has become a cancelable offense.
So he's not okay. I could be totally wrong because I'm thinking of someone else. Who was that hosted Coach's Corner?
Yeah, that's Don Cherry.
Okay.
With
so
the crazy
yeah,
jackets and everything.
Oh yeah, then I've heard that guy because okay, so there's a Canadian band, a punk band called Propagandhi. Okay, they're pretty freaking awesome for like punk bands, especially from Canada. Sorry, I mean I'm not trying to offend, but I'm just saying, you know, there's not
you
a lot to be totally to angry on. About you guys over there. So they on one of their albums that came out, I gotta say it was like maybe 2000. Somewhere between 8 or 10, somewhere around there, they have a song called Dear Coach's Corner. And basically, he, the singer of the band, they play a clip of what I'm assuming now is Don Cherry, not the the trumpeter, basically saying, like, and you people are talking about, let's support the good guys, let's support the troops, you know, what's, you know, and he's going off about that. And then the whole song is dedicated to him, basically trying to find a common ground with him over hockey, which the singer loves. And they're talking about, like, the national anthem being played at games and all of stuff like that. So that guy, already what I've heard about him, he sounds like, if I heard him say, you people, I'd be like, get this guy out of here. And now you're saying, is it because people not buying poppies on Memorial Day?
Yeah, it was along those lines. He's a very pro-military guy. Pro-military and pro...
Josh is getting upset. No, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, there's a big conversation in this episode about context.
Right.
Right? And I think it's interesting that, like, I mean, I don't know how we got onto Don Cherry besides me bringing him up. but like, it's interesting when context is ignored, and how certain contexts, like the hard J, is more acceptable than other contexts and stuff like that. And I think it's an interesting conversation to have.
I think it is an interesting conversation, which is why I enjoyed them actually talking about it here, even if they ended up in the wrong a lot of the times, because they were talking about context, but we've lost context. So watching, and I'm not sure if I'm totally against losing context, because sometimes people hide in context to actually try to be inflammatory, more inflammatory than, you know, they're trying to be inflammatory about hiding in the context they're using to kind of like say, ha ha ha, you can't get me sort of thing. So we've lost it. And this, watching this, just like with the last season, kind of illustrates a lot of what we lost. But is it a bad thing? Not totally sure. I guess we'll find out when we're finishing this series in about 5 years.
Right. Well, Frankel goes on, because the reason why he's lost patience is he's dealing with them. There's a gas leak in his building, and he just wants the dog. All right.
So he's so annoyed. But do you find it weird that he's so, like, he's so in with Mrs. Reynolds here at this point, like, that he's, the dog has become this bait? Like, wouldn't you just say, fuck it? Like, you're this rich dude. You know, you're a big businessman. You own this. It's like, why is he so indebted already to her that he needs to get this dog back? Is it just to fuck with them? Does he really like her? Like, why is this such a mission for him now?
I think it's because he hasn't fucked her yet.
It's possible. Yeah. I think this is one of the blemishes of the writing in the episode, where this is when the easiness, like, they're going to kind of take the easy road and say, okay, and we just go along with it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's to set this up. It's to set up Frank saying to him right here, I have a proposition for you, after Frankel says, you know, like, you guys are wearing me down. I'm having a problem. There's a gas leak in the building. I'm at my wit's end. Like, it's just to get us there.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get us to this business proposition. We cut away from that. We cut away from that, though. And Charlie is there. I think they're in Charlie's house. And Charlie's saying, you guys feeling extreme? And here he is filming Dennis and Mac. They're wearing turbans. And this is where Dennis starts in the Arabic. And, like, good Lord. Like, it's...
My TV said it was nonsensical language, is what it said.
It's just like... It's just it's like how in 2006 and 2005, my buddy and I would make fun of Daivari cutting promos on Kurt Angle.
Right.
Like that, right? Oh, it's so over the top. Charlie's mad, though, because they're not reading the script that he wrote. Dennis is like, I'm not reading that. It's in English, and it's riddled with spelling errors. And Dennis is just like, I'm just going to mutter some guttural sounds. Meanwhile, Mac is upset. He can't focus on anything because he doesn't have a weapon in his hands. Charlie wants to know who the director is. They start again in Arabic. Mac storms out to get a weapon, and Dennis loses it, saying, like, let's get a weapon. Everybody get a weapon. Now, is this offensive, or is their ignorance a shield to how offensive it could be?
I think the ignorance is a shield. This feels a little more less ignorant, though. Like, the making this tape feels like they understand a little bit more the gravity of what they're doing. But on the flip side, they also understand a little bit more that it shows that they know that they're wrong, you know, as it's going. So I think there's a little less ignorance claim in this scene than there has been through the rest of this one.
Yeah, I would tend to agree there. I think the ignorance is more for us. So we can try to enjoy it without having the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as Mac charms out, Charlie wants to make the apartment look more like a cave, which is kind of a nice throwaway line. And we get a cut to them reviewing the footage and the Arabic Dennis, and then Mac saying, "We will crush your skull with our weapons." And it's just a hammer he's holding. And as he says that, Dennis looks at him twice in the video. The body language is superb. Like, he's just so upset that Mac said that. And I love that they're kind of appalled what they've made. So, like they kind of get that they've gone too far with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's clear that they realize it's okay. Like, all right, we've already gone kind of far, and this is way over the line. It's like, but it's good that they realize it before they, you know, deliver the tape, right? They've come to the realization that this is not a good move.
Right.
But yeah. It's amazing that they have to, like, tape it and then go through all that. They set up to, they made it look more like a cave, as we saw, by putting up the sheet behind them. Like, they had to go through all of it to figure it out, you know? It's kind of, it's good that they did it, but.
Well, they had to, like, see themselves doing it to realize how bad it was. In the moment doing it, it kind of wrapped up, and then they sit there, watch it, and it.
Realization. This is how all those viral videos happen, right? This is like that cop who was crying because she went to McDonald's and she thought they spit in her food. Like, it's like, do they have to actually see it to be like, I'm a dick? I mean, I look like a fool.
Maybe, because you're in the moment, you're just like kind of going with it, right?
Correct. Emotion. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie says he feels sick too after seeing it, but he wants to use it because he directed the shit out of this video. And Mac is like, "You're not the one on TV threatening Jews." Dennis goes to interject, but Mac goes, "Look, the context is fine because I was thinking about it as I was watching the video." Then they don't want to use the video. They finally acquiesce to just throwing a bag of poop through the window. But then Charlie does take the tape out and marks it jihad tape, and he takes it with him. As they're leaving the bar, they're deciding who's going to throw the poop. And Charlie's like, "I'm going to do it because I sat over the bag for 20 minutes. Why would he shit on the bag?
So I don't think he wanted to pick it up, you know?
Yeah, I think he just figured he'd lay the bag down almost like a plate.
But wouldn't it be just easier to, like, poop in the toilet than take it out of the toilet and put it in the bag?
Like, to Josh's point, I guess he doesn't want to pick it up. So you poop right in the bag. Yeah.
Plus, if we're talking physics there, okay, so you would have to shake out that shit a little bit to get some of that excess water off, because the water is going to soak into your bag, mm-hmm. and then it's going to make it harder to light the poop on fire, correct. Which is the ultimate goal here. Plus, it's going to destroy your bag.
I don't believe for 1 second you haven't done this after that explanation.
I have not, but I've thought about it a lot while I was watching the video. So I think no matter what, you got to do it dry. It can't go in the toilet. Now, he could have shat on, like, a bigger thing, a bigger area, so he wasn't trying to aim it into this bag. That would have been smarter. But if you don't want to pick it up, then... But see, I would be worried that I would, like, get it, like, half in, half out, and then I'd be in a weird situation.
I just don't like shitting in uncomfortable positions.
Yeah, so you got to get the squatty potty, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, they go over to the building, and Charlie's like, nobody's there. So Charlie's like, what's the point? They tell him to do it anything. They're like, oh, my God, it's going to smell so bad. And of course, the Chekhov's gas leak happens and the building explodes.
I thought it was an awesome payoff because you could tell all episode they were trying not to escalate this to that point. Right. Like they're trying to de-escalate down where they want to be annoying. They want to force this guy out of here. But they don't want to do it at the point where they come across as a hate crime.
Right.
And this is exactly what they end up doing. All because they just wanted to put a bag of poop on the guy's doorstep. They end up blowing up the fucking building.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant. We then cut to the next day, and here they're singing a cappella. They're singing More Than Words at the bar.
Which iconic moment. Iconic
it's so randomly
moment.
Beautiful. They nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good trope as to what other things are going to come, because they do this a bunch of times throughout the series.
Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for, like, the stepbrothers, like, fuck up, but it never comes. They nail it, you know?
Yeah. It's nice. It's a nice thing. Frank comes in with a contractor, giving him instructions, and they ask him what he's doing, and he's like, I'm just renovating my bar. because he bought the property from Frankel. And he's like, you didn't think I was going to find out about you burning the building down? And he goes, Frank goes, I'm part of the gang or I send your asses to jail. Dee and Dennis would rather go to jail.
Their reaction was perfect.
Yeah, they're so angry. And Charlie,
so angry.
And of course, Charlie's like, well, Frank is the captain of the gang because he doesn't want to go to jail. Dee's screaming, why can't you just leave your money to your kids like normal parents of America? It escalates to a big fight and some detectives interrupt. And they want to talk about a little thing they have in evidence bag called a jihad tape. And the last line of the show is Charlie going, oh, shit. And with that, we are out. So this is like a cliffhanger that we kind of mentioned at the top, but this is a cliffhanger that doesn't get resolved. Does it matter?
No, I mean, you figure either Frank paid off the cops or they just slide their way out of it, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that. How do you feel about the ending, though? Like, how do you feel about the whole the sequence of events after Frank?
I love it. I love Frank buying the bar just so he could be part of the gang. It sets up this wonderful partnership that's going to play out.
Yeah.
It also takes away the constant, which I think was probably going to end up getting kind of lame or played out, is the gang being able to afford this bar when they're constantly like broke and struggling. So this takes that off of that plate, and it's just explains how they can do everything they do going forward just using Frank's money. So like it just puts this thing in place that they have as a backdrop to anything time they need to do anything. Well, Frank bought it, Frank paid for it, Frank's paying for the bar. So I like
Frank's
that
set the money. Yeah.
Yeah, that it takes that off the plate. And it also explains why Frank would end up being around so much that he does become naturally enveloped as part of the gang because he owns a bar. So that's it.
Yeah. Aaron, did you like it?
I did. I didn't. I could have done without the detectives, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
If anything, I mean, you probably could have just had
Ari watching the tape or something, maybe. Or he sees,
yeah.
Maybe Ari picks a tape out of the rubble or something like that.
Yeah. It gave us the punchline, the end, like the actual end-to-end, which I did like. But you're right. The detectives coming in was a little bit much. See, this is the one part of the episode where I was like, all right, everything seems a little bit. Because when they threw the poop in the window, for one, they're already talking about why the plan is dumb. Because no one's going to stomp it out, which the whole point of the plan is poop on the shoe, dude. Right?
Right.
So they're already saying that. And then they get behind the car like they're waiting for an explosion, which they are not supposed to know happens. And then it explodes. So it's like the one part of the episode where I was like, oh, this is just too convenient to get it. And now the building's gone. And now when Frank goes to, you know what I mean? It's all of that. But I could suspend it for this one more than any other episode.
You took it that they were hiding behind the car for it to explode? Because they were hiding behind the car earlier, too, in the same way, just doing recon.
It was more that, like, it seemed foolish that they talked about why their plan was foolish that they were doing it. And that it looked like they were doing recon. Not necessarily like they were waiting for it to explode, but that they were expecting something to happen. When they had just said, it doesn't look like anyone's here. I mean, it's dark. There's no one working in the building. You know, like, kind of those things. But again, I don't care because of all the things you guys just said about how it takes away all these questions. It sets everything up well. The Frank's in the gang and we don't have to argue about it anymore, which was going to get boring, you know?
Right. How do you guys think they dealt with the Israel situation?
I don't know. Like, they kind of end up steering from that and becomes more personal. But I think it's fine because I think it was more about setting that up as a thing so then they could subconsciously mirror it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think, I think it's exactly how It's Always Sunny should do things. They really don't have a connection to the subject, but whatever is happening for them mirrors what the subject is in a satirical way. Like, that's where their satire is. And like we said, they're ignorant to it most of the time. Of how they're like paralleling the actual issue.
Look, in terms of crimes committed this episode, I have arson, kidnapping of a dog and possession of stolen property. Did I miss anything?
The way Barbara says, Deandra. That's a crime. Adultery, is that a crime, technically? Crime against the Bible.
Probably depends on the... Well, it's the same it's the same document they're using for the Israel.
Yes, true.
Like,
I wrote terrorism. Is that just a, a crime in general, I guess?
I guess. Can you be hanged for terrorism?
Good question. I guess they
depends
act...
which country. Yeah.
Okay, who's the least virtuous person in this episode?
I went Barbara for sure. I put Ari because I think by the end he went so personal that he lost sight of the business piece and he just got broken down. Like you said, it was the rope-a-dope. And then, I don't know. Like, I feel like Dennis, Mac, and Charlie's heart were the right place throughout all this. they don't have the self-awareness to realize what they're doing. But they actually did have some here. Like, they kind of realized they're wrong. And the fact that they don't do the jihad tape, so maybe you just put Charlie on her because he was so into the tape, but only because of he directed it, you know? So, again, it's almost like an insanity plea for them.
Yeah, I wrote there's almost no virtuous people to begin with. So every time you're trying to rank them, it's like, well, I guess who's just worse, you know, as opposed, it's no clear favorite, but Barbara might be one of the ones because she's just, it's all about vindictiveness for her character the entire time. And she doesn't care about anyone but herself, but at least everyone else, they care about something that's more than just themselves. Technically, like they care about the bar.
See, I think Barbara is an interesting one because I think she could also be most virtuous because I think she's probably the biggest bitch of all of them. But her actions in this episode are not, it never goes anywhere horrible.
It's all inferred.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, she's banging this guy, but whatever. She's allowed to fuck some guy, right? Like,
she got people deported.
Yeah, but not in this episode.
Right. Yeah, it's all anecdotal.
Yeah.
From someone who hates her, dude.
That's true. She did not deny it though.
No. She just slapped.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Like, she didn't make a terrorism tape. She didn't light a building on fire. She didn't steal. She had her dog stolen. She was burglarized the episode before.
That's true. But we didn't know that. We thought that, like, it was just everything was going to be sold, you know?
Right. Who is the most abused?
I had Charlie. Because I do think he gets abused a bit in this one. Yes. And the Jews.
The Jews.
Yeah, I mean, if Ari wasn't a dick, okay, I would say him. But it's hard not to because he's got a dickish attitude. But, like, let's be honest. The guy bought a building. He realized it actually extended further. And then he was going to try to develop his property. I mean, those things technically in the capitalist system are not bad things. And even when he gets, like, personal, how personal is he getting, really?
Well, he just seems like annoyed the whole time.
Right.
Like, even when he goes to get the dog, it's almost like he just wants to get out of there and it's like a loose end he has to tie up.
It's like, I want to hate him because of the air he brought in with him. But in reality, he's just kind of he's just been sucked into their shit and having to deal with it. Just like the lawyer. If we could include the lawyer, I'd say the lawyer was. That guy just came in. He's just trying to, like, advise these guys, and they're trying to implement him in, like, terrorism, essentially.
All right. So alliances, I had Mac, Dennis, and Charlie trying to get Ari Frankel. I had Frank and Dee dog theft. Barbara and Ari looking for love. What else is there? Did I miss any?
No, I think you got it.
Cool. Anybody have a cringiest moment?
The ongoing debate around the term Jew and then the jihad video for sure.
Yeah, it was the nonsense language of the jihad video that made me go, ugh.
What was your biggest laugh?
Look at me, the millionaires, these doctors, Charlie's line in the beginning. And then Barbara slapping Charlie, which we didn't really talk about earlier, but that was just an awesome moment. Just out of nowhere. It was great.
Yeah, I had the whole sequence of Barbara and Frank talking with Charlie chiming in.
Mine was the entire finished product of the jihad tape. Mm-hmm. As awful as it was, destroyed me. Any seeds planted?
D's Big Mommy issues.
Tropes?
Frank wants to be in the gang. D thinks she's part of the gang. Frank and Barbara calling D Deandra. And Dennis's lack of patience when he starts to lose control of the situation.
What about fun times at lawyers?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Singing a cappella, is that a seed or a trope?
I think it's a trope.
Trope.
What about the entire weirdness of Charlie Frank living arrangement?
I think it's just a thing.
It's a major plot point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be like them owning the bar, you know.
I have don't mess with America.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very much defending America.
Very jingoistic.
JT, who are the appearances in this one?
We had a bunch of new ones. We had Ari Frankel, Barbara Reynolds, the lawyer, and then Detective Tanner and Detective Olvey at the end.
Oh, you got their names.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's rank this.
All right, so out of 10, I went 7.5. I thought it was a great episode, a lot of laughs. To this point, would be the best episode.
I am the same. 7.5. It's my strongest episode so far.
I gave it 7.5. I'm still torn if Charlie Gets Crippled is better. I think they're both really good. I think it's like whatever day I ranked it on would have decided which one was better, you know?
Right.
So 7.5.
So then that gives it a total score of 22.5?
22.5, which would be our number one episode.
Yeah. So the top five episodes then would be... What are we doing? Top five?
I think we're just ranking all of them, right?
Oh, all right.
I'm updating as we speak. 8, 9. So this is our number one episode. Number 2 is Charlie Gets Crippled. Number 3 is Charlie Gets Cancer. Number 4 is Teenage Drinking. Number 5, Charlie Got Molested. Number 6, Charlie Wants an Abortion. Number 7, The Gang Finds a Dead Guy. And the worst episode was the premiere, The Gang Gets Racist.
No, the worst episode is Gun Fever.
You're right. Yep. Sorry. Gun Fever.
All good, baby, baby.
All right, another great episode in the book. So, and our next one will be back in 2 weeks with episode 10, as we're really starting to hit our stride here in season 2. Check out everything we have to offer on the North South Connection Podcast Network. Shows dropping each and every day. We got some new stuff coming in 2021 that we're very excited about. Covering wrestling, we cover sports, we cover pop culture, TV, comics, all kinds of cool stuff. You can follow us at facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. I'm at JT the Pod Guy on Twitter. Aaron's at Aaron D. George on Twitter. Reach out, share your thoughts on these episodes as we go. Do you have any issues with our rankings or thoughts? You can go ahead and provide those to us. That's all I got. Stay sunny.
Bye.
The meat puppets.